All right, good morning, folks. Hello once again. Come on down, have a seat. So if you're unfamiliar with what we've been up to, we did our neighborhood connection days. We tried to bring this real connection that we believe here, and we tried to bring it to the area around Manor Park, which is just a mile and a half, 2 miles that way. We have several people in our church who live in that neighborhood, and it's just good to serve, good to connect with people there, and try to spread the love of Jesus. But I think one thing that is really important as we come out of a weekend like this is to ask the question, why? And the question why is super duper important because we're out there working hard. And many of you put in, 12 plus hours over the last couple of days doing stuff. And that's not normal. If you don't understand the why, you get into trouble. Now, our culture denies themselves. They know how to work for a goal out in our culture. And if you're going to work, you save up your money and you have a goal. And I mean, that's something that everybody knows about. If you're going to exercise, you say, okay, I want to get healthy. I want to lose some weight. I want to build some muscle. I want to, do this or do that. If you want to advance in your job, you set goals for yourself and you deny yourself. You say, okay, I'm not going to do this. And instead, I'm going to do this because I have this goal. And so our society is very comfortable with that. And it's a lot focused around, okay, so I want more of what life has to offer. And so therefore, I'm going to deny myself so that I can get more of what life has. And you say, okay, so then why would I spend the last 36, 48, 52, however many hours that we spent doing all this stuff? Why would you do that? I mean, in some ways, why are you even here on a Sunday morning? You could be sleeping in. You could be doing a lot of different things. Our culture has so much. Netflix is just waiting there, and they've always got new shows. What are you doing? I feel like Christianity can sometimes be just a bit of a hobby. And you say, okay, so this is kind of my hobby, and I do the church thing, and I hang out with Christians sometimes. I go to the small group. I read my Bible now and then, and it's my hobby. And it kind of fills that one of those spaces in your life. Maybe you have other hobbies. You like gardening, or you like woodworking, or you like baking, or something like that. And Christianity just kind of fits into one of those slots in your life. And if you're there, great. I'm glad you're here this morning. I don't think that that's what Jesus talks about in his word, about how we're supposed to interact with him. I don't think we're just supposed to fill one of those hobby slots in our life. That isn't following Jesus. But then sometimes, so if you have a hobby and you're like, I'm getting sick of this hobby, this isn't fun anymore, you stop doing it. And Christianity can kind of be like that for some people. They're like, yeah, I tried it for a while, and it wasn't fun anymore, so I stopped it. But kind of above the hobby level is kind of this obligation level. And maybe you can kind of feel that way. We're like, oh, I kind of got to go to church. It's kind of what I'm supposed to do. And it's this duty, and it's this obligation, and it's just like, well, I'm supposed to. And there's this, there's God who exists, and he wants me to do this, and so to kind of appease him, and to kind of live the right life, I got to. And so it's almost like mowing your lawn, or changing your oil, or doing maintenance on your life. And there are elements of Christianity where, it is like a hobby and we can enjoy it, and it is like an obligation, and we can put time and energy into it and say, okay, I have to do this. This is part of what I'm supposed to be doing. There's some accuracy to that, but if it only fits into that slot in your life where you're just like, okay, this is an obligation. I'm supposed to do this. And then it kind of ratchets up and it kind of eats into the other parts of your life. Then you can kind of say, well, I'm feeling kind of burnt out. I'm feeling a little bit bitter towards this obligation. You know, it's like today when it's raining and the grass grows really fast and you got to mow again. You can kind of get a little bit bitter. I can. I can say, oh, I don't want to mow again. I have to mow again because the grass is long again. And if I don't do it, then, you know, put it off and it's bad. And obligation can feel that way. And maybe church and Christian stuff, reading your Bible, can feel that way. Too much obligation, you get bitter, you get burnt out. Now, if you're at that place, if you're still figuring this out, if maybe you're feeling that way, that's all right. I'm glad you're here. But I don't think that that's what Jesus wants for us. I propose to you that neither hobby nor obligation are following Jesus the way that he intends for us. The type of relationship that we're supposed to have with him. And so as we try to get to this question of why would you do what so many of us have done over the last 2.5, 3 days, I think you got to ask the question, okay, is this just a hobby? Is this just some sort of obligation that I have? Or is it something different? Let's pray and ask God for help with this. Lord, we do want to come to you. Lord, I believe that you have more for us than hobbies or obligations. Lord, you have something deeper, something richer, something more true. Lord, and your word spells that out. I pray that the truth of your word would hit home for us, would hit deeply. Lord, I have a few thoughts, but your word is what's most important. And so I just pray that the scripture would be effective. It is. It's always effective. And so I just thank you that it's effective here in our hearts this morning. Teach me, teach us all from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So Jesus, as he tried to answer this question why, as he did answer, as he explains it several different ways throughout scripture, this is one that I want to focus on here this morning because this is a tough saying of Jesus. This is kind of the nitty-gritty. This is when Jesus kind of calls out people. He calls out me. He calls out you. He calls out humanity here, and he says, okay, this is what it's about. So I've got a section of scripture from Matthew 16. I'm going to have it on the screen, but I'm going to be referring back to it. And so I'm going to just have little bits on the screen as I refer back to it. So if you have it open before you, you can kind of keep up to date with where I'm at. It's on page 871. We've got these house Bibles. They should be under the seat in front of you. You can look at it there if you brought your own Bible, or you can use your phone as well. Matthew 16, and we're just going to do 3 verses here. 3 pretty dramatic verses. Verse 24, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wants to follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life because of me will find it. For what will it benefit someone if he gains the whole world yet loses his life? Or what will anyone give in exchange for his life? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will reward each according to what he has done. So Jesus here speaks about finding true life. And I think that it's in making Jesus more than a hobby, more than an obligation. It's finding your very life, the foundation of your life, the center of your life, the entirety of your life is found in him. And that could seem a little radical. That can seem a little bit I don't know, fundamentalist. It can seem like, well, our world kind of pushes this idea of everything in moderation and, you know, diversify and you do a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And but God says, no, put all of your eggs in one basket. Jesus says, no, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. And that's very different from this being just a hobby. It's very, very different from it being some sort of just obligation, like mowing your lawn or changing your oil. And it's very different from what our American culture seems to think about it. You know, our American culture seems to say you can be happy, healthy, prosperous, affluent. And that's great. You know, you listen to Dave Ramsey, you know, Mr. Financial Peace. And he's got some great Christian principles couched in some great financial advice. And that's wonderful and that's good. It can really help people. But, you know, I mean, he's a pretty wealthy guy. He's doing pretty well for himself. And you can kind of say, well, why isn't my life like Dave Ramsey's life? I followed his principles. There can be this pull towards greater and greater accumulation of trying to find life here. And Jesus just ends up as that hobby or that obligation. I don't think Jesus is going to let us, in honesty, carry that. He wants it to be different. So he starts off. Let's pick these few verses apart. He says, if anyone wants to follow, if anybody makes this deliberate choice to follow. Now, he went to some disciples, and we're going to see this. He went to some disciples, and he said, hey, you come follow me. But then he puts that out there, and there are people who came to him at different times throughout his ministry and said, I want to follow you. So we can make this choice. You can say, okay, I want to follow Jesus. This is something that's important to me. I want to make this happen, this deliberate choice. But who are you following? What is the person that, what's he like? A couple of quick verses here. At the end of John, he writes, Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, by believing you may have life in his name. So this person that we're following, the Messiah, the Christ, the promised Savior of the Jews and of the entire world, and the Son of God, God himself, on equal standing with God, part of this Trinity that we see revealed in Scripture about who God is. That is who we follow. And when Jesus says, if anyone wants to follow me, he says, this is who I am. This is who you're following. The bringer of life. We may have life in his name as we believe. Jesus revealed himself to his guys. He picked out 12 men and they followed him around. And there was that one point where he kind of pulled back the curtain a little bit and said, this is who I really am. He rebuked the wind and the sea, and there was great calm. Many of them were fishermen. They were out in this boat. They thought that they were going to die. It was a big storm, and Jesus just stands up and he goes, shh. That is the power that these men were following. That is the power that we are called to follow. That is the person. So who did he ask? He just walked along and Peter was there and his brother Andrew, he says, follow me, I will make you fish for people. And then James and John, he just says, follow me, come with me, come be with me. And he says that to us as well, come be with me. If anyone wants to follow, that's who we're following. I hope you want to follow. Then he says, deny himself. Let him, the person who wants to follow, deny themselves and take up their cross and follow. And this word deny means, in some ways, lose yourself. Lose sight of yourself. Lose sight of your interests in light of another interest. Forget yourself. put aside your own goals, your own interests, your own desires even. Jesus, he picked these 12 guys. He appointed 12 of them, whom he named apostles, to be with him. He said, follow me so that you can be with me. And then he sent them out to preach. He gave them part of his role to be with him and to do what he does. And that's what it means to follow Jesus. And it wasn't a picnic. It wasn't a, you know, hey, follow Jesus and you're going to live your best life now. It's just going to be perfect. You're going to really enjoy this. No. He says, foxes have dens and birds of the sky have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Let the dead bury their own dead. Push off your responsibilities. At this time, he's calling them to that. He's saying, come follow me. Spend your life with me. And then to one man who said that he wanted to follow, he said, hey, you know, if you want to be perfect, go sell your belongings and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. So when you think about denying yourself and taking up your cross, you think about a different life. You think about exchanging and saying, okay, so I'm going to take this life and I'm going to make it my life. I'm going to take Jesus' life and I'm going to make it my life. I'm going to say, okay, this is what I'm about. I'm not about the things that I was about before, the things that this world is all about. And he says, keep following, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow. And that verb is the continuing verb, to keep following. It's the life that we are to live. And as we pick up our cross, when someone picked up a cross, when they picked up their cross, they were about to be crucified. They were supposed to carry their cross to the place that they were going to die. And so to deny yourself and pick up your cross is like you're carrying your death with you, your torture and your death with you, and you're saying, this is how I live now. And you trade, you say, okay, so that's the life that I want to have now. And I'm not supposed to have my life anymore. I'm supposed to have the new life. I kind of think about it, you know, as I thought about this, I don't think Jesus was really focused on the guy's possessions. I don't think he's really focused on our possessions. We can get this really into this, like, okay, but what if I have to give up everything? And I like my stuff. And Jesus is like, well, yeah, I mean, you could give that up. That would be good. It wouldn't be a bad thing for you to give it up. But what I'm more concerned about is your heart here. And what's of worth? The emphasis in Jesus is to deny your own interests, not to necessarily deny all material possessions. It's a different economy of worth. And so it's kind of like the possessions that we have now are a little bit like Monopoly money. The things that we have now, they're just really not of any value. I mean, yes, while you're playing the game, you trade the money for properties and you kind of do the thing, you march around the board. I always liked being the top hat. Anybody else have a favorite piece of the Monopoly game? You march around the board and you collect the money and you do the things and yeah, I mean, you're playing the game. But it's really of no value. I mean, you take those dollars, those Monopoly dollars, and you try to go buy milk with it, and they'll laugh at you. They'll say, I'm sorry, you need American dollars. And I feel like oftentimes, this is what Jesus calls us to. He's like, okay, so trade in your Monopoly money. I've got something of real value for you. I've got real life for you. We're not just playing games. This isn't about just going around collecting properties and trying to avoid jail. So here, he goes on. He kind of goes back and explains it a little bit. He says, for whoever wants to save his life will lose it. And so we sit here and we say, I want to collect all the Monopoly money and I'm going to keep it all. And then Jesus is like, it just doesn't work that way. You're going to lose it. And I was thinking about the book of Ecclesiastes. And the book of Ecclesiastes was written by Solomon, who was an ancient king in Israel, and he was gifted with wisdom. And he messed up his life pretty good. And at the, I think towards the end of his life, he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. And it's written from this perspective of, I've tried it all. And I've got these verses, and I don't know if we can go through all of them. But he says, he starts off, go ahead, I will test you with pleasure. Enjoy what is good. And so he was rich. He had it all. He could do what pretty much whatever he wanted. And he tested himself with pleasure. Later on, a couple verses later, he says, all that my eyes desired, I did not deny them. And so he even went past where we're at in our American culture. He's like, I'm not even going to deny myself anything. I'm going to take it all, and I'm going to try it and see what this life is. I'm going to drink deeply of whatever I can get. And he was rich enough and powerful enough to do that. And he kind of went to the furthest extent. And I think God allowed him to go to that place so he would write it down and say, this is worthless, futile, a pursuit of the wind, he says. Then at the end, in chapter 12, he talks very eloquently, very poetically about life draining out of him. And all the things that he used to enjoy as a younger person are spent because he's old and he's dried up and everything is futile. It's kind of like the person who works hard and denies themselves and works and works and works and works and works, and then they're finally able to retire and they have all this money, they have this wealth, they can finally travel, but they're too tired to travel. And they can go out and eat at whatever restaurant they want, but food doesn't really taste that good anymore because they burned out their taste buds long ago. And they just don't have the energy or the vigor to actually enjoy what they spent their life accumulating. And Solomon says it's futile. That's what you give up. The old life is empty. Trade it in. Get something of value. That's what Jesus encourages us to. Whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life because of me will find it. What does Jesus say about life? The book of John talks a lot about life, this life that we get. It's kind of one of his key words as you read his gospel. He focuses on it quite a bit, so I went there. Everyone who drinks from this water will get thirsty again. He's speaking with this woman at this well, and she's wanting water from the well, and Jesus asks her for a drink, and so he says, okay, so let's use this as an analogy. Basic life component here. Everybody needs water. You need to drink it every day. You need to hydrate yourself. Jesus says, whoever drinks from this water that I will give him will never get thirsty again. In fact, the water I will give him will become a well of water springing up in him for eternal life. And so there is this life that Jesus offers. We trade this old, dusty, worn-out life of no value, and he gives us this artesian well of life in us that bubbles up, that springs up. In John 10:10, he says that this life is in abundance. And so in some way, our culture is just always just like, yeah, I want more life. I want more experiences. I want more good. I want more richness. I want all of the relationships and all of the good stuff in life. Well, okay, there's an element of that that comes through Christ, through God, through the life that he gives us, the abundant life that we can get from him. Do you want more life? That is what God brings. Now, it's not always perfect. It's not always exciting. It's not always fun. Jesus, in John 16, says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. You will have suffering in this world. So if you're coming to Jesus like, I'm just trying to avoid all the suffering. Well, that's not how it works. He's here to give you peace in the suffering and to give you life in adversity and in hardship and in trial. Everybody gets the hardship and the trial. But Jesus comes that we can have life there in that trial. Peace in the midst of suffering, that is a miracle. If you can have that. That's the sort of life that we get. Jesus has conquered the world. If you know Jesus, you can sit here and say, well, you know, there's a lot of war going on. The temperature of the earth is rising. There's all of these big problems all over the place. The Middle East, Ukraine. Man, there's a lot to be depressed about. But he says, you can have peace. Because I have conquered the world. This life is not the end. What you see, what you taste, what you touch, that's not all there is. There is, this is just like the short, crummy part. Life goes on for eternity. Trade your old, empty life for the abundant life. The new life is abundant. The new life springs up. It's this well of water, of clean, pure water that pure, clean life coming up. That is what Jesus is here to do. That's the life that he offers us. So we trade this worthless thing in, this old dusty life, and we get the abundant life. But that, it's just not the end even. It goes even beyond that. He says he will reward each according to what he has done. And this is pretty neat because, you know, you trade the old life, the dead life, and you get the new life, the abundant life, but then you look forward into the next life. And if you're in Christ, you say, okay, so he's given you the eternal life, welling up to eternal life. So this life starts and then it goes on. And he says, okay, but there's things that will happen in the next life that are going to be really good. Now, you go through scripture, and it seems like there's a number of different rewards that happen. Revelation 22, look, I'm coming soon, and my reward is with me to repay each person according to his work. I'm the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. And so I think that there's a sense that eternal life itself is a reward that we get. And we have faith. And we are rewarded for doing God's work here. But I also think that there's kind of this sense that everybody of faith, whether you do a whole lot or you don't do much, is rewarded. Jesus talks about paying everybody the same. Tells this story. And there's people out there who are like, you know, this person, they became a Christian with a half an hour left of life. They didn't get to do anything. Why should they get rewarded? Jesus is like, hey, if I want to be generous to them, what's that to you? Don't I have the right to do what I want with what is mine? Are you jealous because I'm generous? But yet there's also this sense from God that we do get rewarded for some of the things that we do, even an act of faith in secret, like prayer. Jesus condemned the hypocrites, the religious elite, for praying in front of others. He says, truly, I tell you, they have their reward. But when you pray, go into your private room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. I think we have reward to look forward to. We have good. God's got it worked out. And I think that, you know what? There's going to be a lot of people who get more rewards than I do. And I'm going to be just fine with that. Because I think the rewards that I get are going to be plenty. And they're going to be generous. The next life is rewarded. So back to the question, the big question, why do you do this? Why follow? Why deny yourself? Why would you take out of your life, you get a finite amount of time in a day, in a week, in a month, in a year, in a lifetime, you get a finite amount of time. Why would you spend that doing Christian stuff? Why wouldn't you just, you know, if you're going to deny yourself, why not do it to further your own interests? Save your money and go on vacation. Whatever it might be. Well, Jesus is pretty clear. He says the old life is empty. The new life is abundant. The next life is rewarded. That's what we have to get into our head. This is a faith choice. You can experience this abundant life, but it does take faith. And if you're not in a place right now where you're believing this stuff, okay, that's fine. Hang out. Keep pursuing this. Keep thinking about it. Keep reading. Keep investigating. But there's some people here who I hope, I believe, that's why you spent all this time loving your neighbor, cleaning up, cleaning bathrooms. A crew of people yesterday went around to small businesses and they cleaned bathrooms. Yuck. I mean, cleaning my own bathroom, you know, is not too much fun. But cleaning somebody else's bathroom, that's not fun. Is that the abundant life? I think when we deny ourselves, take up our cross and follow, I think we start to figure some things out. And I think God starts to renew our mind and teach us what it looks like, what is really valuable and what we should do. So I want to encourage you guys here. This new life that God offers us is not confined to Sunday mornings or Wednesday evenings or the occasional Saturday. This isn't something that just needs to be an obligation in your life where you can get burnt out doing it, or some sort of a hobby where it just fits into this space next to woodworking or baking. Jesus becomes the entirety of our lives. And we say, okay, so my life is found in him, and that's what I do. So when you wake up in the morning, as you spend your money, as you go to work, as you think about what it is, you give up the old, you trade in the monopoly money, and you say, okay, so I'm going to give my life to Jesus. And you say, okay, so I get this new life, so what do I do? I new life my free time. I say, okay, so I've got free time, what am I going to do? I'll figure out what God wants me to do. I'm going to new life my responsibilities. I got to go to work. I got to, you know, change the oil. I got to cut the grass. I got to do these things. This is what God calls me to do. How do I do them with God's strength? How do I new life what he has given me to do? How do I new life my relationships? How do I prioritize? I think about how I can love the people around me and serve the people around me, my family, my household, maybe your spouse or kids or your parents or whoever it might be. Ultimately, this leads us to what God has said is most important. That's living our life for him. Jesus, when asked what the most important commandment was, he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, with all your mind, the greatest and most important commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. The law and the prophets depend on these two commands. So we follow Jesus and we find life. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much that we can find life in you, that it is true, it is good. Lord, help us not get to the point of doing the things that we're not supposed to do. Lord, we can get burnt out. I have been burnt out trying to do the things that I thought were right, but they weren't right. Lord, help us counsel together. Help us work it out. Help us figure out what it looks like to find life in you. To not make you a hobby or not make you an obligation, but to make you all of our life. Thank you that you give us new life now, love, joy, and peace, and you reward us in the next life. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.